Heskin Awesome. Don't you get it? God moved next door.
Hey, this week on the Semi-Seminarian, we arrive at the fourth and final Sunday of Advent, the candle of love. But not the Hallmark kind, not the feeling you fall into and climb out of. We're talking about love that moves in, love that takes on weight. In this episode, titled When Love Refuses to Stay Abstract, we open the Gospel of John and listen as eternity puts on skin. This isn't sentiment, this is incarnation. The Word became flesh, and that changes everything. Now, wherever you're listening from, your kitchen, your commute, the dark quiet of a late night, I want you to imagine something real. You're stepping into a small town church on the Sunday before Christmas. Floor creaks under old boots, the air smells like coffee and winter coats. Few kids are squirming in the pews, and someone you've known your whole life just nodded your way. It's not fancy, but it's sacred. Because in this place, the Word is still becoming flesh every time we make room for it. So settle in, let your heart listen like it's in that room with us, because love is about to show up. And I'll see you on the other side. Okay, buds. My church friends, we have made it. Four candles on the wreath. Hope, peace, joy. This morning, the last one before Christmas, love. And I want to say this right off the bat carefully, because I think love might be the most overworked word in our language. The world uses it constantly, but almost never precisely. We love pizza. We love weekends. We love our kids. We love the idea of justice as long as it doesn't really cost us anything. We love with words that don't cost us anything, with gestures that keep us comfortable. World talks about love as a feeling that you fall into or climb out of, a preference, a vibe, a branding strategy. Love, according to the world, is something you express when it's convenient and retract when it becomes uncomfortable. It's something you feel until you don't feel it anymore. Then you're free to walk away. But Advent keeps refusing to let us use love in the abstract. Because Advent insists that love doesn't stay an idea. Love shows up. Love moves in. Love takes on weight. And by the time we've got to the fourth candle, Advent has quietly dismantled every counterfeit the world has to offer. Hope didn't come as optimism. It came as a child. Peace didn't come as just calmness. It came from a shoot coming out of a stump. Joy doesn't arrive to us as entertainment. It came as recognition before comprehension. And now, love. Not sentiment. Not romance. Not slogans. Love arrives as the Word made flesh. So, before we rush to Christmas morning, because the moment we step out of those doors, I know every single one of us will start rushing towards Christmas again. Before we rush to mangers and to carols and to wrapping paper, Advent slows us down one last time and says, if you want to understand love, you have to look where God chose to dwell. So let's do that. Let's do it together. Now, right off the bat, I believe if you're writing the story, this is not how you do it. You don't introduce love by talking about eternity. You don't begin a birth story by reaching all the way back to before time itself. You don't talk about flesh by starting with the Word. And yet, that is exactly what the Apostle John does. In the beginning, not Bethlehem, not Nazareth, not Mary. In the beginning, before manger, before starlight, before breath, John pulls the camera all the way back to creation itself and says, if you want to understand what is about to happen, you need to understand who has always been. The Word with God was God. And everything else that exists, everything that breathes, burns, blooms, breaks, came into being through the Word. And this, friends, is not soft language. This is cosmic language. And then, almost without warning, John brings it crashing down to earth. The Word became flesh. Not idea, not metaphor, not illusion. Flesh, muscle, bone, skin that can bruise, lungs that can fill and empty, a body that can be touched and wounded. And then John uses a word that matters more than we usually notice. The word dwelt among us. The word there in Greek is eskenosin. It means pitched a tent. Tabernacled is actually what the word means. Moved in, took up residence. What does that mean for us outside of the abstract? God didn't shout love down from heaven. God didn't mail out love from a distance. God didn't outsource love to the angels. God moved into the neighborhood. That's where Advent takes its final stand. Friends, tune your ears to the reading of the gospel account according to John, the first chapter of his gospel account, beginning verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. What has come to being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlivens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. We have seen the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is the words of the Lord. And I wonder if you hear it. Not just the poetry of it, but the scandal lying beneath it. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. Love showed up and was refused. That's not a footnote. That's the hinge to the whole story. The creator of everything entered creation, and creation said, no, thank you. The hands that shaped mountains came to touch human skin, and human skin pulled away. The voice that spoke light into existence came to speak grace into human ears, and those ears refused to listen. And still, the word became flesh. Love didn't wait for acceptance. Love doesn't require readiness. Love didn't demand a clean place to land. Love came anyway. That's the part that wrecks me every single time. This is not love that responds to our worthiness. This is a love that creates worthiness by arriving. This is love that says, I know you're not ready, but I'm coming anyway. So let me ask you something gently. These are tough times, holidays. When you hear the word love, what rises up in you? Warmth? Suspicion? Fatigue? Because for some of us, love is exhausting. Something we are expect to give endlessly. Something that keeps demanding more without ever resting us. You've been told love is sacrifice, and it is. Somewhere along the way, you started believing that sacrifice meant emptying yourself until there's nothing left. That love meant giving and giving and giving and giving until you can't remember the last time somebody gave to you. And for others, love feels unsafe. Because love once came with strings or conditions or disappointment. Maybe you grew up in a house where love was a currency used to control you, where approval was given or withdrawn based on your performance, where you learned early on that love was something that you had to earn, not receive. Maybe people who said they loved you also hurt you. Maybe the word itself feels like a trap now. Promise never really delivers. For some of us, love feels abstract because you rarely experience it embodied, stayed with, showed up, refused to leave. You've heard people say the words, but the words never really took on weight with you. The words never really moved in. The words walked out when things got hard. So, when the church lights the candle of love, some of you aren't thinking about romance or joy. You're thinking, can I trust this? And this is an honest question. And God doesn't answer it with just more words. Advent answers that question with a body. Now let's be honest. This is where love usually breaks down for us. Because the world trains us to think love as intention without incarnation. I love you, but don't ask me to stay. I care, but don't ask me to change. I support you, but I don't want to be inconvenienced. Sound familiar? The world's version of love is safe, abstract, and controllable. It's love you can express at a distance. Love that never requires proximity. Love that sounds good on a greeting card, but dissolves when it has to walk through a hospital room or sit through a hard conversation or stay up throughout the night with someone who is falling apart. It's love that can remain theoretical. Love that doesn't have to enter into conflict. Love that doesn't risk rejection. Love that doesn't get its hands dirty. And sometimes, friends, if we are honest, that version of love sneaks right into the church as well. We talk about love, but we keep it vague. We preach love, but we don't let it interrupt us. We celebrate love, but we refuse its weight. We're happy singing about love on Sunday morning. We're less happy when love asks us to sit with someone whose politics makes us uncomfortable. Or when love asks us to forgive someone that hurt us deeply. Or when love asks us to stay in a difficult marriage, a difficult friendship, a difficult community. Because incarnate love costs something. Because flesh can be wounded. Presence can be rejected. Proximity can be painful. And the world would much rather talk about love than receive it from a God who gives it. John refuses here to let love be vague. He tells us exactly what it looks like. Love looks like the eternal word, refusing to stay disembodied. Love looks like God choosing vulnerability over distance. Love looks like divine glory wrapped in ordinary flesh. John says, "And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory." Notice, seen, not inferred. This isn't love that has somehow been deduced by logic. It's love that we have witnessed. Then John says something almost scandalous, full of grace and truth. Not grace without truth, not truth without grace. Grace that tells the truth. Truth that arrives gently. That's incarnational love. And later, John will say it even more plainly in his first letter. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love." And please catch that. God is love, not God has love. Not God is really good at the love bit. God feels love. No, God is love. It's his very nature, his identity. Love is the substance of his being. Every single thing he does flows from love because he cannot act outside of his nature. And then John goes on to say, "In this love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son." And please see what John is doing here. He's defining love by God's actions, not ours. We don't get to define love by our feelings or our efforts. We can only recognize it in what God has already done. Love is not our initiative. Love is our response. That's why the Advent season keeps whispering to us, receive. You don't generate love, you encounter it. Paul, he puts it this way in Romans. "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely would anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not Christ died for us once we improved, once we understood, once we finally deserved it. Love came first. That's grace. That's always been grace. And the word dwelt is the key. John is deliberately echoing Exodus, the place where God's presence settled among Israel in the wilderness. Remember the word eschatosen? A tent, a structure made of skin and poles. Not a palace, not a temple yet. Just a place in the middle of the camp where glory could dwell, where the holy could meet the ordinary. The cloud by day, the pillar by night, the presence of God settling into a tent among the wandering, complaining, frequently unfaithful people. God didn't wait around for Israel to get its act together. He didn't pitch his tent outside the camp until they proved themselves worthy. He moved right into the middle, right where the failure was, right where all of the grumbling was, right where the golden calf had just been built. Same God, same movement. God has always chosen presence over perfection. In the wilderness, when Israel grumbled, in exile, when Judah had failed, in occupied territory, under the boot of Rome, and now in flesh. Jesus is not God visiting briefly. Jesus is God making a home. And this should be really good news when you think about it. Because what that means, it means that love is not something God just does occasionally. Love is who God is, expressed spatially. God doesn't just love you. God chooses to be with you. And not occasionally, all the time. God's love is not conditional upon your actions. That's Emmanuel, God with us. Not God over us. Not God watching us. Not God judging us from afar. Not God sending messages and waiting for the proper response. God with us. Eating, sleeping, weeping, walking dusty roads. Sitting at tables with sinners. Touching lepers. Washing feet. Bleeding on wood. Love doesn't keep its distance. Love moves in. So here's the invitation for this final Sunday of Advent. Stop trying to keep love in the abstract. Stop waiting to feel worthy of it. Stop imagining love as something you must earn or maintain. Love has already moved in. And if you want to respond to love, you don't climb, you don't perform, you don't perfect yourself. You make room. Room for God's presence in your heart. Room for interruption. Room for grace that tells the truth and a truth that heals you. And I wonder what that might look for you this week. Maybe that means letting love reach some of those places that you have kept guarded. The shame you've hidden, the failure you've never confessed, the wound you bandaged but never let anyone see. Maybe it means staying present where you've withdrawn, sitting in the awkwardness, leaning into the discomfort, not running when a relationship gets hard. Maybe it means forgiving someone who hasn't earned it yet, because You finally understand you haven't earned it yet either. Maybe it means trusting that God's nearness is not a threat. That when God moves in, he doesn't move in to condemn. He comes in to dwell. And here's what I've learned. I know you cannot manufacture incarnational love. You can only receive it. And then, slowly, imperfectly, with tons of stumbling, you can let it reshape how you show it to other people. Love's not an idea to agree with. Love is a presence to receive. Picture it with me. Not a throne, not a spotlight, not a distant God, but the Word, breathing, sleeping, crying, dwelling. Love didn't shout from heaven. Love pitched a tent, and it's still here. That's the Word Advent has built upon all month long. Not sentiment, not emotion, not a vague wish for the world to be nicer. Incarnation. Love with skin on it. Glory that bleeds. God who refuses to stay safe in eternity and instead looks on the vulnerability of the human body in a borrowed room in an overcrowded town in the armpit of the Roman Empire. 4 weeks ago, we lit the candle of hope, and hope came as a child, not a strategy. 3 weeks ago, we lit the candle of peace, and peace came as a shoot from a stump, not a treaty. 2 weeks ago, we lit the candle of joy. And joy came as recognition before comprehension, a baby leaping in the womb. And now love. Love comes as flesh, as dwelling, as Emmanuel. And John wants you to know that's not just Bible history, that's invitation. Word is still becoming flesh in every place you're willing to make room for it. And in a few days, some of us will gather with family, easy or complicated. Some of us will be alone. Some of us will be remembering someone who isn't there anymore. Some of us will be celebrating. Some of us will be enduring. Wherever you are, whoever you're with, whatever you're carrying, remember this. Love's already arrived. So may the love that moved toward you before you understood it stay with you this week and into the new year. May the God who chose flesh choose every part of your life you thought was unworthy of his presence. May the Word that dwelt among us dwell in the rooms you've been afraid to unlock. May the light took on flesh, shine in the darkness you've been hiding. And may you discover, not someday, not abstractly, but right here, right now, that love has already arrived. So go in peace and remember, the light that took on flesh will be leading you all the way home. Amen. Amen.
Let's be honest. Love is a loaded word. Some of us grew up hearing it, but not feeling it. Some of us gave it and got burned. Some of us are still waiting for it to come back. We've been told love is something you earn, something you perform, something you say when you want something in return. And in a world like that, it's hard to believe in a love that actually shows up. A love that moves in when everyone else walked out. Advent won't let us settle for the world's cheap definitions, because the Gospel of John tells us plainly the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God didn't send a feeling, he sent himself. So, if your heart's a little tired, a little guarded, a little unsure of whether love is worth trusting anymore, And friend, this episode, this message is for you. And if that message hits home, if this little podcast has been a reminder that grace still speaks through the static, throw your like in the offering plate, not for me, for the ones still tuning in. You can click subscribe if you want. If you want to keep walking with us through Christmas, maybe even into the new year, not to support a brand, but to say, I'm still listening. Word is still becoming flesh. Love is still moving in. And friend, until next time, be blessed.